Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Presenting Pixie Dust. I am Elizabeth Carr.
And I'm Brett Harvey.
And we are very excited to be back with another episode this week. It has been a little while between episodes. We've been a bit busy.
Yeah, so it's been a big couple of years in preparation for our wedding.
We got married.
Yay.
Finally, COVID rings, allowed it.
Rings and everything.
Yep. And people, guests.
Rings,
fancy
vows.
That.
Yep.
We didn't think that we'd be able to have guests for a little while, but we are incredibly lucky to live in Australia where things have relatively returned back to normalcy.
Yeah, COVID normal, they call it.
Yeah, COVID normal. So we got to have our wedding. We got to have people.
Terrific event, but it took a lot of our time.
It did a lot of time. A lot more than we thought it would, actually. We thought, oh, how easy. Like, we've got it organized.
Yep.
What else is there to do? Turns out, in the last couple of weeks, a lot. There's a lot to do.
And look, you know, I don't want to dissuade anybody from creating their own podcast, but just understand that it's a lot of work. And
a lot of work.
When life gets hectic, it can be really difficult to pump out the episode. So thanks again for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
We really appreciate you continuing to tune in and bearing with us on this little break of ours while we got back to our new COVID normal.
And so we received a really nice complimentary review recently.
We
online.
Did. So big shout out to Marissa from the Mouse Club podcast who left us a really beautiful review on iTunes. We love you. We appreciate you. And I think that whenever we receive a review, we should shout people out.
Yeah.
So if you go to Apple Podcasts and you leave a lovely review for us, don't forget to put your name on there, not just your username. And if it's your username, it doesn't matter. We'll shout that out anyway.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Whatever's going. We'll shout out whatever you give us.
Yeah.
So if you haven't done that yet, please go and leave us a beautiful review. And thanks so much to Marissa. You can check out her podcast, The Mouse Club Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
I just said podcasts a lot.
You did.
Yes.
Do you want to say it one more time?
Podcast. Can you say it with me?
Podcast.
Right.
It was really good, actually. We've found that through this process, we've been going for, a year now?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a smidge over.
A little bit over. We had our anniversary not long ago.
Yeah, and our podcast anniversary, not our wedding anniversary.
Well, anniversary and our wedding anniversary may coincide, just coincidentally.
Well, your podcast anniversary is probably more important. No?
Well, really. It's already a year ahead.
But you know what? I think when we're a year in and, you know, to be honest with our audience, we've sort of haven't received a whole lot of feedback from people. And so it was really heartening to receive such wonderful feedback because it just hits you in the heart there, pulls
nice.
Those strings.
It's nice to receive feedback from people you don't know. You don't have to tell you.
Yeah, because our friends
nice.
And family, they love us. They'll tell us what we want to hear. But it's great to hear, you know, a complete stranger who only knows us through our, you know, well, we could call it a product, I suppose. You know, we don't sell it, but it's a product.
We're open to selling it, though, if anyone's got any, any you know, any, money. If there's money involved, we're open to it. Sponsor us.
But it was just great. It made us feel really good. And, you know, we want to make sure that we provide great material, great content for people. So, you know, if you've got any feedback for us, we would love to hear. And if you've got any ideas for the show, we would love to hear that as well. Some of our guests that have come on, you know, during the year, like Ryan was, I think was in our last one.
Yeah.
You know, he had an idea about what episode he wanted to talk about. And I know your sister did it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just really nice when we connect with people through this medium.
Yeah, it's lovely. So leave us a review. We'll shout you out. And send us an Instagram DM or a Facebook message or an email with any ideas or feedback that you have. And we so greatly appreciate it. So let's get stuck into episode 38.
Wow.
We are up to. You chose this episode.
Yeah, I did.
Because this is your favorite princess movie.
Tangled. The
Why
Tangles.
Is it your favorite? Are we going to start with that or should we leave that to...
Oh, it's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
It's, what, 10 years old now?
11.
And
It'll
you
be
would,
11.
And you could see, we watched it last night,
mm-hmm.
and I tell you what, you would not even think it was a week old.
Doesn't look a day over 2 years old.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's amazing.
It's a marvel. but we'll get into the details of why later.
We will. So let's get into some fun facts, shall we?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. This movie premiered on November 14th, 2010 at the El Capitan Theatre in Hollywood, California.
El Capitan.
El Capitan. It has a runtime of 100 minutes, and it currently has a rating of 7.7 on IMDb and 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See, I told ya. It's up there. It's way up there.
I do say currently because as I found, it didn't actually occur to me that IMDb ratings and Rotten Tomatoes ratings can change.
Yeah.
They are fluid. So as it stands right now, 7.7 on IMDb and 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So after this episode, and when all of our listeners go and watch it and they rate it really highly, it could change.
It could change. We could bump up the score.
We hope you love it as much as we have.
Yeah.
Mm.
You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Fun fact number one, Tangled was Disney's first full-length computer animated fairy tale adventure. It was also Disney's 50th animated feature film.
Yeah. And they had that really lovely part at the start where it sort of has the Mickey Mouse.
The Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie, where the pages flicker and it creates the animation. Mm-hmm. And you know, just takes you back to before you were alive. But it
that's
takes
really far
you
back.
I don't know. Did you ever make little animation, like flip books at school?
I tried, but yeah. I am not very visually artistic.
Yeah.
So I, you know, maybe did so with some stick figures, but I didn't have the patience to draw minute changing movements on 1,000 different pages to be able to flip them.
Yeah. We used to just do like stick man.
And, yeah, I used to do that too, but I just, yeah.
Anyway.
Are you ready for fun fact too?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad. All right. So Tangled is the first Disney princess movie to be rated PG.
Really?
Yeah. Prior to this, all the other princess movies were rated G.
Wow.
When possibly they shouldn't have been. Like, I think that they're a bit scary. They get a bit scary.
What happens in this movie that didn't happen in other movies? Like, they're all they all get a bit creepy
Flynn
and stuff.
Gets stabbed. Like actually stabbed.
Yeah. But some of the others see are really... the knife puncture the body.
And when the knife comes out of the body, it doesn't have blood on it.
And then we don't see any blood on him immediately.
No.
We see no blood on his hands.
No.
It's only a little bit of redness on his shirt.
I don't know.
So it's a really interesting thing.
I don't know. I think that also like rating systems, if we look at PG movies from like the 80s and 90s, those movies would never get rated PG today.
Nah.
So maybe just as times have changed,
probably
the standards have changed in what constitutes a PG movie and what doesn't.
Maybe it's a more modern kind of look. We know that in this story, the witch...
Mother Gothel.
She takes Rapunzel away and kidnaps mm-hmm. her and locks her in a tower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of that... There's this, well, I guess we'll get into it more later, but there's some, like, a lot of abuse mm-hmm. that happens in it, and maybe that's where it tips it over. I would tend to think it's more likely to be along the lines of the abuse that happens in the story than Flynn getting stabbed with a knife.
Maybe. You know? You could be right.
That's my feeling.
It's my feeling.
I have no evidence or research to support it, but there we go.
Okay. Fun fact number three. Disney had been thinking about doing a movie based on the Rapunzel fairy tale since 1937. So it was one of the original movies considered post the Snow White craze.
Yeah.
It was ultimately rejected, but it stayed on the back burner for the next few decades. Even when the idea was revisited in the 90s, it still didn't start full development until 2002.
There you go.
Yeah. That was a long time coming. Yeah. I suppose it was, you know, it had to be one of those, it's one of those classic princess fairy tale stories that could very easily be translated. Though I think the thing about Rapunzel is that similarly, I suppose, with like Cinderella, there's not much to it, to the actual fairy tale of Rapunzel.
Mm.
This added a whole lot more to the story. Whereas I think in Cinderella, when we watch the movie Cinderella, it basically told the story of Cinderella. And it didn't really add anything else. Well, it added a whole chase sequence with the mouse and the cat that took 15 minutes. But, like, it didn't add anything to the story.
Yep.
Whereas Tangled was about the story of Rapunzel, but then it was about so much more than that.
It brought in all these other characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Mm. I feel like comparatively though, it's a far more modern approach to telling a story about a young girl. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to it than the Cinderella story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fun fact number four. Disney's previous animated feature, The Princess and the Frog, which came out in 2009, so 1 year before this one, despite being popular with critics and audiences alike, was a box office disappointment. Disney felt that the film's princess theme discouraged young boys from going to see it. In an attempt to market the film to a broader audience, Disney changed the title of the film from Rapunzel to Tangled. And promoted it as a comedic adventure. An early trailer for the film focused less on Princess Rapunzel and more on Flynn Rider, the male lead character. It was originally believed that Disney's marketing campaign was a desperate attempt to search for a particular kind of audience. However, directors Byron Howard and Nathan Greenough claimed that the title change was due to an emphasis that Flynn has as much of a role in the film as Rapunzel does. So this was the first movie of the, you know, Disney, I suppose, princess catalog that focused on a an adjective.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got Tangled, we've got Brave, we've got Frozen, you know, and this was the first, and they're all princess movies.
Yeah.
And it really, this is the first time that it's actually sort of clicked to me when I read this is going, because I always wondered why didn't they just call it Rapunzel? Why Tangled? But It's a smart idea if you want to market it as more of a family film rather than a princess film.
Yeah, and I think people approach those movies or those stories, they've already got preconceived ideas from the books that they've read and those sort of things, and I guess they probably want to break away from that. They want to open it up to more possibilities than hem it in. The moment you say Rapunzel, you've got a fairly specific storyline in mind.
Yeah, I suppose.
Hmm.
Suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. Fun fact number five. I love this. I love this fact. The character design of Flynn came from the process called the Hot Man Meeting by Nathan Greenough and Byron Howard, during which they set up a meeting with all of the female employees of the studio in one room and asked them for their opinions of what made a man good looking in order to create Flynn's character design with features such as eye color, hair color, and style and body type. Video footage of the meeting shows concept art and photos of various male celebrities, including Johnny Depp, Hugh Jackman, Brad Pitt, David Beckham, and Gene Kelly on the walls of the room for reference. I just love the idea of all of these women sitting in a room talking about what makes a man hot and, you know, oh, no, the hair. It needs to be, like, floppy hair. Long hair, but floppy and, like, styled and cute. But, like, I just love the idea of it.
And I reckon that's, you can see there's a moment in the story where he tries his smolder look on Rapunzel. And she doesn't go for it, but, you know, you can see where...
She's never been smouldered at before. Yeah, that's the thing.
You can see where that they've gone, let's put that in, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he's got a look. I mean, he looks at a girl that way.
it's very melts, reminiscent of Joey from Friends and, like, the how you doing kind of face, isn't
how
it?
How you doing?
All right. Fun fact number six. For the scene in which Rapunzel enters the marketplace, the animators were inspired by the entrances of Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Rapunzel's excitement towards all the music and people is reminiscent of children at the parks.
Yeah.
And some adults when they get to go as well.
Some of them do get very excited.
Who are you talking about?
Even more excited than the kids.
Yeah, well, it's because the kids don't understand. The kids didn't pay for it. That's why they're not as excited. The kids don't understand the amount of money. They're not going around knocking on all the walls, are they? All right. Fun fact number seven. Mandy Moore, who does the voice for Rapunzel, only met her co-star Zachary Levi, who does Flynn's voice, once they came together to perform their duet in the film. Mandy Moore never got to meet Donna Murphy, who voiced her character's mother.
Yeah, really?
I think, were we talking about it with Ryan last week when we were doing Saving Mr. Banks, that it's bizarre that Emma Thompson and Colin Farrell made a movie together and wouldn't have gotten to meet because they weren't in any crossover scenes. It's the same thing with animation, I think. Like, they can record all of these scenes without ever being with the other person.
Yep.
And they don't ever get to meet them, and that's just bizarre to me anyway. Because I just imagine them all in a room together, you know, talking to it, having dialogue and actually talking to each other, but I suppose they don't have to do it that way.
No, not at all.
And fun fact number 8, in the marketplace, when Rapunzel looks at the mosaic of herself, the camera cuts from her eyes to the tile eyes of the picture. And very briefly, there is a clarinet musical motif that is exactly the same as the motif in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where Cameron is looking at the pointillist painting and the camera cuts between Cameron's eyes and the eyes of the child in the painting.
Yeah.
The moment is just a fraction of a second. Just after that, Rapunzel looks at the clarinet player walking behind her and she smiles.
Ah.
Yeah, so I just thought that was cute.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Little Easter egg.
Little Easter eggs. And those are my fun facts.
There you go. Some good facts.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to let you start because this is your favourite movie.
Yeah, look, I can see where they've, you know, now that you've mentioned it, that they've deliberately made a film that appeals towards the male audience.
Mm-hmm.
It makes total sense. Like, it got me. The Flynn Rider character is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he gets around, there's no doubt about that. He starts off the movie as the narrator.
Yeah, he starts a narration.
Which I think is, you know, it's not uncommon for to have a narrator in Disney princess movies at the start and at the end. But to have the narrator as someone who is a character, a big character in the movie, often the narrator in other movies is either not a character at all or it's a smaller role, a lesser role.
Mm-hmm.
So to have one of the main characters be the narrator, I thought was a really interesting twist. Yeah, just definitely the way that he gets around, he's so macho, he's got suave to him, he's got a bit of, you know, quick wit, quick thinking. You know, he's a thief.
He is.
So, you know,
His first line is, "This is the story of how I died."
Yeah.
Like, which automatically sort of sets up the fact that this is not a character that we can trust.
But he's also a funny character as well, the way he presents it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's an interesting, really interesting choice. And I think it really sets the tone for the movie is this sort of, he's almost like a swashbuckling pirate, but not a pirate, you know, he's a landlubber. but yeah, it's really, really clever that he, you know, it starts with him, but then, you know, that he explains the story very briefly over the scene, which sets up the witch Gothel, who becomes, Rapunzel's mum by tricking her. It sets up the kingdom and the lanterns, which become a thing later on. It sets up Rapunzel herself. Her backstory of having this magical
hair.
How
she got the magical hair,
But doesn't spend too much time on it either. So it sort of goes through it fairly quickly. And it also sets up the hidden tower and also Pascal, the chameleon.
Well, he's a chameleon as well.
He's a bit of
comedian,
both.
Comedian, chameleon.
Yeah. So I think that that's really clever that they sort of set this up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, if you think about something like Cinderella, they spend a huge part of the movie setting the scene of Cinderella's plight as the...
Like we don't already know.
The stepdaughter that, you know, gets kicked around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they kind of waste a lot of time with the cat and mouse stuff. You know, we've complained a lot about that already.
Well, it's not a complaint. It's just a noticing.
Well, I complained.
You complained.
But what I mean is, like, in terms of storytelling, that really didn't do much. And they spent way too much time in the build-up, whereas this gets through a lot of that quickly so that they can get to the action of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of action in this story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I love how they set up the character of Gothel. I think she's one of the best Disney villains going around. Mm-hmm. I know you would disagree with that.
I don't disagree with that. I think that she's a very good Disney villain.
Who's your favourite, though?
Oh, well, obviously it begins and ends with Ursula. Yes. Like, she's the best Disney villain.
Whereas I'm more like Ursula.
Ursula's the best.
Gothel's got this cunning. She's clever. She's so horrible at the same time. I love the way that she puts Rapunzel down and then just says, "Oh, I'm just joking, dear," you know? And it's...
She is so manipulative.
Manipulative, abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of this girl living in the tower. Like... Rapunzel's got no one. Did you notice that Gothel's room in the tower has doors and Rapunzel's has a curtain?
Mm.
So Rapunzel like Gothel can always go and access Rapunzel's room.
Yeah, it's a power thing.
It's a power thing, and it's just so awful. And I did like, though, that there is that Gothel doesn't climb her hair. She, like, lowers it down, and like a, you know, an aerial silk, she sort of loops it around her foot, and she sort of, you know,
yeah, Rapunzel pulls her up.
Yeah, back up to the top. I think that that's that. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah,
just the way that they use her hair throughout.
Yeah,
the,
it's brilliant
throughout the whole movie. It's like a character of its own.
Yeah. And it's sort of, it's used in like in pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. In every scene, there's some kind of use for it. You know, it's being, she's using it to, she's using it to swing on like a vine, mm-hmm. to get away from the guards when they're in the chase scene. And she's, you know, she's flicking it around, grabbing things.
It's like another appendage that she's got.
It is. It's almost like a monkey's tail or something.
You know? Yeah, it's exactly like that.
I love how. Love how Gothel says, "You must stay in here, the tower. The world is filled with horrible and selfish people." And it just, to me, it's kind of like this totally projecting her own self onto society.
Yeah.
Which some people do. Mm. They won't want to show it in themselves, but they will point the finger elsewhere.
Yeah.
And she does it so well.
Yeah. Her song Mother Knows Best is a very good song, and I love that later on when they reprise it, it turns in. So the song of Mother Knows Best being, you know, her trying to convince Rapunzel that she actually wants what's best for her and she loves her and everything. But then when she flicks it around on her later on in the movie, the song becomes Rapunzel Knows Best, and she's just mocking her through the song.
Yeah.
And, like, putting her down and making her, just, like, gaslighting her into not trusting what she knows to be true about what's happened. And it's just the way that her and Flynn, because Flynn does it too, where he, like, emotionally manipulates her and guilts her into doing things. You know, when she, when he takes her down the tower and they're, you know, she's having this mental about, oh, I'm a terrible daughter. If I stay, I can't, blah, blah. And then, you know, eventually he's saying, you know, well, you can just, maybe you should just go home, blah, blah. He's like guilting her. And it's just awful. Everyone in this movie is trying to manipulate this poor girl.
Yeah.
And it's just really sort of uncomfortable to watch them do this to her when she's got, no, she's so beautifully open and trusting of everyone, because why would anyone lie to her?
Yeah.
Why would they have any reason to lie to her? And it's just, like, really sad and heartbreaking to see.
It is. This is where it moves into that PG, I reckon.
Yeah.
There's all this abusive relationships
really abusive.
Happening around her.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that that's where you need your parent there to say, well, this is not okay. Just so you know, kids, this behavior is not okay. It just isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's the motivation? Gothel needs to have... keep Rapunzel around because her magical hair kind of heals her and
takes
her back to her youth. Otherwise, she's an old, decrepit lady.
I have a question about this.
Yep.
How often do you think she has to do this hair singing thing? Because I feel like it wears off very fast. Because she'll sing the hair singing song to her and turn her back to being young. And then, like, the next day you see her hair starting to grey again.
Yeah. I reckon it's got to be almost a daily thing. I reckon that's the routine.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because here's my question. How old do you think Gothel really is?
Mm.
There's a clue that gives it away.
I must have missed that clue.
So, spoiler alert. Spoilers. So, when she falls from the tower at the end and she's going all grey and horrible because... she no longer has, you know, the magic of the hair keeping her alive. She turns to dust.
Yeah.
So she's pretty old.
She's pretty old, yeah. So what
possibly,
do you think, like,
well,
long was she going to the flower for and getting it, getting the magic from the flower
possibly,
before it was picked?
Possibly hundreds of years.
Do you think that long?
Yeah.
Well, her dress style is very different from Rapunzel's.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? She's got this very sort of medieval looking dress.
Yeah.
So it has to be
could
at least
middle
a couple
ages.
Of hundred years.
Yeah, yeah.
That she's been doing this for.
Yeah.
And no one's... out about it, or
no? Well, she kept it hidden. She kept this special flower. What I want to know is why did she not like try to?
Why didn't she just like pick it up and move it somewhere else?
Dig it out and take it home. I don't know.
I don't know. These are the questions. That would have been the smartest thing to do instead of leaving the flower out where it was, because the palace had no problems just like uprooting it.
It took them two seconds
to uproot it and move it. And I don't even know why they bothered uprooting it when they could have just cut. They just made the leaf into tea anyway for the queen to drink.
Yeah, look.
Why didn't they just pick the flower?
A lot of questions.
Why didn't they just take a petal?
The only thing I would say about that is neither you or I.
Very short-sighted.
Neither you nor I are very good gardeners.
No.
So we can't really speak to the ins and outs of repotting a plant like that with a special flower. I can grow yuccas. That's about it.
You are the yucca king. King of yuccas.
It's, yeah, I love it. It's good. Now, you mentioned a song before. Rapunzel sings "When Will My Life Begin?" What an amazing song.
Mm-hmm.
So she races around. It reminds me very much of Frozen when the girls are, I guess, singing at the start.
It's like for the first time in forever.
Yeah, first time in forever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this coming of age excitement.
Well, it's Rapunzel's I Want song.
Yeah.
It's her ingenue I Want song. And I wrote down in my notes, Rapunzel is the original, like, quirky princess. Rapunzel walked so that Anna could run. Like, we needed Rapunzel first. She was that, and having that, you know, sort of quirky, sort of clumsy and a bit silly and everything princess now is just sort of a common thing that we have. You know, it's sort of what we expect, you know, when things don't go right, and almost that like slapstick comedy that we get from the princess characters now, like Rapunzel and like Anna and like Moana.
Yeah.
I know Moana's not a princess. Don't come for me. I know. But it's that same sort
of. Wasn't she not a princess?
No, she's not a princess.
But wasn't her dad the king of the island?
No, he was the chief.
Oh, okay.
So she's not a princess, but it's that same sort of vibe, right? It's basically a princess movie. And it's that same sort of vibe for all three of them, where they've got sort of that a bit – ditzy's the wrong word because it's not ditziness, but it's like this, you know, tripping over everything and, you know, things don't go right and, you know, do you know what I mean? That like little quirky sort of
quirky
thing that these quirky. All these princesses have got. And Rapunzel was the first.
Mm.
She was the first one. And she's really very much like Anna.
Do you know what that is? It's making the character empathetic. You know, girls world around can empathize with her.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's like to be a normal person. You know, despite her family's history, you know, she's a girl.
Yeah.
She's just a girl.
She's young. She's only just turned 18.
Yeah.
In this as well.
And the other thing too is she hasn't really experienced, in this one, like in this particular story, she's a girl who hasn't experienced life outside the tower.
No.
She doesn't know what that's like. So she's the only person who she's really interacted with is this person who's lying to her and trying to keep her there. But what it's great to see, particularly in this song, you know, she talks about all the things that she does to keep herself occupied. And it's really kind of nice because it's almost like a whole range of self-exploration and self-upskilling, like all of the drawing and the painting, and, you know, she's making candles and she's cooking and all of these.
She's reading and painting.
Yeah, all of these wonderful things that she's basically having to learn herself throughout her youth, not just to pass the time, but it. You know, you can see where that becomes kind of a strength of hers, a strength of character.
She's got tenacity.
Is the fact that she's worked on herself, which is, I think, a really lovely message to people, to young girls, to people, that, you know, you can build yourself up by working on yourself and developing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think that Rapunzel should be a lot more messed up than she is? She seems really well adjusted. And if you were in a tower for 17 years with only one other person to talk to and you've never left and you haven't interacted with anyone, shouldn't she be a whole lot more socially, like,
withdrawn?
Inept?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't she have a whole lot chameleon. More issues?
Got a chameleon that she talks to.
I stand by my original question. Like,
well, look, yes. Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to go on a on a horrible tangent, but there are a lot of stories of kids who have been kept, you know,
isolated,
and it does stunt their social development quite a bit. And they come out, for the ones who have come out, they've got never-ending trust issues, anxiety, depression, all sorts of things. I think maybe they, like you mentioned before about she, once she gets away from her mum, she has this, I wrote down that she has, it's almost like a manic bipolar situation where she wants to leave and she thinks it's great. And then, oh my God, I shouldn't be leaving mum. And oh, I'm looking forward to seeing this and that. And then, oh, I'm the worst person ever. And I think maybe
this poor girl's having a full-on guilt crisis.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that's Disney's way of speaking to that emotional kind of control distress. And,
yeah.
You know?
Well, her mum has made her feel this way, has implanted in her whole life.
Yeah.
Of how dangerous it was going to be and how disappointed she'll be in her and how upset she'll be.
Yeah.
And I think that Rapunzel always has the intention of she is going to go home.
Mm.
She's not leaving forever. Not at that point, anyway. She doesn't think that she's leaving forever. She just wants to go and see the lanterns.
That's right. And she'll come back.
And she'll come home.
Her mum won't know the difference.
No, because mum's going to go out and get the watercolour paints.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I love when Flynn takes her away from the tower and they come to this little, it's like a little pub.
Snuggly Duckling.
Snuggly Duckling. And it looks, from the outside, it looks really cute and nice. And then they go inside and there's these
big... like a biker bar.
These big, bulky, like Viking-looking characters, you know. I think they're called thugs in the
credits. Are they ruffians?
Didn't say ruffians in the... It just said thugs in the credits.
Yeah.
But yes, they're big, they're gnarly, they're, you know, bulky, they're muscly, they're rough, they're big rough men. And I just love that juxtaposition between the outside of the establishment and the inside of the establishment. And she very quickly realizes that, you know, there are some mean and nasty people out there.
But they're not mean and nasty because they've all got a dream and all their dreams are really wholesome. And really sweet. They just want to be a mime or cook or, you know, they just want to do all these really nice things. I wonder why there isn't a Snuggly Duckling restaurant or bar at Disney.
Yeah.
Like a little place you can go that's the Snuggly Duckling and you can get like a nice bowl of stew and a beer or something, like a taverny kind of place where you can go and eat.
Served by Viking-looking people.
Well, ideally, but, you know, we'll take anything, you know.
And I said that to you during the movie. I said, why is there not the castle,
tower?
No, the streets of the villages around the castle.
Yeah.
When Rapunzel and Flynn go there and they're, you know, they're dancing and, and all sorts of shenanigans there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, this looks amazing. Why is there nothing like this at Disney?
Well, there kind of is. So there is a small Rapunzel section. When I say small, it's like you will miss it if you don't notice it. And it is, it's at Walt Disney World. If you go, bear with me, I'm going to explain it to you. If you go like through the castle into Fantasyland where the carousel is and you go left, and you walk towards like Liberty Square where Haunted Mansion is. So it's like just before you get to Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
It's just there. So there's a tower and there's like some like lanterns hanging on a rope above your head and there are toilets and they're Rapunzel toilets.
Really?
And that's it. And you will literally like walk
there's
through
no Splash
it in, like,
Mountain ride type thing.
No,
probably why I didn't notice it.
You wouldn't.
I do remember seeing it.
Seeing the tower? And at night you can go and get your photo taken with a lantern and they're beautiful pictures. But it's just...
What a wasted opportunity.
People line up for, you know, hours to get their photo taken with a lantern.
Really?
Because they're beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
At night, but it's just, the Rapunzel toilets. It's like all Rapunzel got is a toilet. That was where the good water tap was. Do you remember the good tap?
Yes, I do remember that.
The cold water tap.
Because we were looking for water. They hide them a bit, don't they?
No, it's not even that. It was that we bought bottled water like all the time and then it was just a waste. So we were refilling the bottles, and some of the taps, the water was disgusting. Yeah. And then some was good. And that particular one was really cold.
It tasted amazing.
And it was good. Cold.
And, like, and the toilets inside actually were really lovely too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're the Republic toilets.
Yeah, so if you need to go to the toilet at Disney.
They were the ones. They were the ones to go to.
Oh, yeah.
With the good water.
The good water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think it's a wasted. It should have it be its own little land, I reckon.
Yeah. Oh. You could have a Snuggly Duckling restaurant. They've got the Beast Castle for, like, Be Our Guest and everything.
That's right.
You could absolutely have a Snuggly Duckling little quick service, even just a little quick service restaurant.
Yep. Rightio, Disney, get onto it if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Get onto that. We need Rapunzel World.
Tangled Land.
Tangled
Land. It would just fit in so beautifully with Fantasyland, wouldn't it? Like, It would go in there so easily.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, great song. Mandy Moore's voice is superb, isn't it?
She is amazing. She's perfect for this character.
Yeah. Like, I was really, something that I remember from when I first watched it was just how good her voice was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time she was a known name.
Yes.
Like, you know, which is not what Disney always does.
No, not always.
They don't always get a known name to do singing. But I tell you what, if they weren't known, they're then known after that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel both auditioned for Rapunzel.
Mm.
Obviously, neither of them got it. Kristen Bell could have done a fairly good.
Kristen Bell went and did
Anna.
In Frozen, yeah.
So both of them,
she got a chance.
I mean, I think Kristen Bell is fine, just quietly. Yeah. I think she did okay. But, yeah, they both auditioned for that role and neither of them got it. But Mandy Moore was the perfect choice. She's amazing.
So maybe we could sidestep to talk about Maximus.
Oh, okay, yes. In the grand tradition of horses with canine qualities.
Yeah.
Disney does.
Well, human qualities, really. Yeah. So Maximus, this big, muscular horse, he actually belongs to the King's Guard.
Mm-hmm. The lead guard.
And he ends up more or less going at it one for one with Flynn.
He's on the hunt for Flynn because Flynn has stolen the crown of the princess.
And
the
he takes
princess.
His job very seriously.
Oh, yes, he does.
And so there's this lovely back and forth between him and Flynn, like he isn't like a human character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they chase after the crown, the stolen crown together. You know, he's tracking him through the woods. And then it's interesting how, in theory, he's on the right side of the law, this horse,
mm-hmm.
and Flynn's not. But eventually, you know, they kind of become buddies in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a redemption arc, but kind of not, because the horse is always, in theory, the good guy. Flynn is it's a weird character because he's a robber. He's stolen from he's stolen a crown from the kingdom.
Yeah.
In theory, he's the bad guy, but he's also the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting kind of take on that.
Well, we do get Flynn's backstory about why he is the way that he is. And his childhood and how he's, you know, grown up. He was alone by him. He was alone for his childhood too, which he and Rapunzel bond over. And, you know, we learn his real name after the big great escape because Maximus plus the Stabbington brothers and Mother Gothel all track them to the Snuggly Duckling. So they find them there.
Mm.
And we have the big escape scene where they go through, like, the drain pipe and they think they're going to drown, and it's all very, very scary. Maybe that's another reason. Like, that was scary. They were going to drown, and it was, like, full on. Until Rapunzel realizes that she has magic hair that glows when she sings. She tells Flynn this, and then sort of the penny drops that they'll be able to see where they're going if she lights her hair up. After Flynn has made the confession, we'll go with that. The confession that his name is actually Eugene Fitzherbert and that he goes by Flynn because that was in a book that he read.
Yeah.
This character, Flynn Rider.
Yeah, and we see those two grow very close together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, there's this crescendo moment where they're sitting in the boat in the harbour, you know, watching the lantern lighting festival, which happens on a birthday.
On a birthday, just by coincidence. Yeah.
Not only is the scene itself beautiful with all the lanterns and everything like that, it's so well animated. It's brilliant. But we also get this beautiful, lovely song as
well. Did you know that there are 45,000 lanterns in the I See the Light sequence?
Is that right?
45,000 animated lanterns.
Yeah, wow, that must have taken some serious...
Nah, copy-paste. How hard could it be? 45,000 times.
And they also got, like, the reflections on the water.
And they're different lanterns as well. Some are round, some are square.
Yeah.
Some are, they're all different. Some have got the sun on the side, like the emblem.
Yep.
And some don't.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And a great song. Absolutely great duet. As far as duet songs go in Disney movies, I think it's probably one of the best.
I have one small criticism of the song. Yes. Not of the song itself, because the song itself is beautiful. I wish that the characters had sung the whole thing, because it's like a voiceover singing for Rapunzel's verse and then Flynn's verse, and then the characters actually sing it for the last chorus. They sing it to each other. Yeah. And I wish that they had sung the whole thing.
Yeah, it's noticeable.
Yeah. It really stood out to me. Oh, why are they not singing to each other?
Is it ventriloquism?
Yeah, like, it's weird. It's like they're thinking about it, but they could think about it and actually sing it, because they do that in The Lion King, don't they? When they sing Can You Feel the Love Tonight and Simba and Nala have their verses, they're singing to themselves and the other character can't hear them. They could just as easily have done that for I See the Light.
Yeah.
Where Rapunzel first sings her first verse and she's singing out.
Yeah, she's singing away from him.
Yeah, singing away from him. And then she's looking at the lanterns and he's singing his verse to himself.
Yeah.
And then they sing together. I just wish that they had done that, that the characters had sung to each, like, had sung it live in quotation marks, you know. That's it.
Yeah, because in Aladdin sings... They're on the carpet, aren't they? When they're flying and he sings to her and then she sings back.
They're singing to each other, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Then. Whereas I See the Light, they're not really singing to each other.
No.
But I wish that they had sung it.
But they're still actually singing.
Yes,
In Aladdin.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, it was just a really interesting choice. I wouldn't have done that myself.
I wouldn't have done it either.
I think, to me, it would have built the tension a bit more if there had been... singing it live, we're using quotation.
Yeah.
You know,
singing it in the same.
To each other, but not necessarily directly to each other.
Yeah.
It still builds that tension.
Yeah.
Whereas
have
it as a voiceover,
it was weird.
Nah.
It was weird.
Not happy, Jan.
No.
Nah, that would be my only criticism of the movie.
And then right at the end, when they're just about to, you know, come together and share a smooch on the boat, Flynn spots the Stabbington brothers and their Green Light of Evil over on the beach.
Green Light of Evil.
Which is the classic Disney evil colour.
Yep.
Is green. Like a lime glowing green. Glowing lime green.
Yep.
Which you see all the time once you've, like, worked out that trope. That's everywhere. All the, like, evilness.
It's the gleam. Glowing lime green. Think about it. All right.
Don't think about it.
It is good, though. It really adds to that. Yeah, and everyone gets stitched up by Gothel.
Yeah.
She's pulling lots of strings, tricking everybody.
Mm-hmm. Because she's manipulative. She's awful.
Yep.
And she, you know, tells Rapunzel that Flynn has left her.
Yeah.
That he's, you know, got what he wanted, which was the crown back, because Rapunzel's had the crown this whole time and, you know, that was her trade-off. He would take her to see the lanterns and she then would give him the crown. Which, you know, Gothel planted the seed earlier. You know, just give him the crown if he really likes you that much.
Mm.
Then he'll stay with you. But even as an audience, we're watching going, does he really, like, if he had the option of now I've got the crown, I don't have to do this, would he stay with her?
It was probably a bit early to tell at that point.
At that point it was. But, like, at this point, obviously.
That's the interesting thing about it. Once they're at that point in the boats where you know that's where his heart's gone.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter about the crown anymore. That's the part where he gets screwed over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he doesn't really get to make that choice straight up, which is what he was intending to do, was hand the crown over to the Stabbington brothers and then go back to her.
Yeah.
And it would have been as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, they tie Flynn in the boat and send him off, and it looks like he's left her.
Yeah.
And then Rapunzel leaves and goes back home with with Mother Gothel. Because she's just lost everything. She's just feeling really dejected. She thinks she's been betrayed by Flynn. She doesn't trust what she thinks anymore either, you know, because she was so sure that he wasn't going to leave her. And then he's done what she was so sure that he wasn't going to do.
Yeah.
So now she doesn't trust herself. So now she's got to go back home with her mum to at least a place where she feels like she understands it. You know, it's not the best place. But it's predictable, some comfort and she's got comfort and stability in that place.
It's a reality that she knows.
Yeah, and she understands.
Even if it is a false reality.
Yeah. Mm. And Mother Gothel is looking really sort of haggard at this point, which is why I wonder how... Because Rapunzel hasn't been gone for that long, only a couple of days. Yeah, so maybe she needs this hair magic as she gets older more often.
Yeah, I reckon.
To keep her feeling, you know... young and beautiful. And Rapunzel has the big realization that she's actually the lost princess when she makes a connection that she's drawn this sun.
Yeah.
Which is like her emblem and the town's
emblem.
Well, it's the family's emblem. It's the kingdom's emblem. Sort of her emblem as well, because that sun comes from the sunflower that they use. And she's drawn accidentally, you know, or inadvertently painted this flower in every drawing that she's done.
You
see silhouettes of it in real life and then like outlines of it in the negative space. And she has this, you know, realization and suddenly remembers who she is. I don't know how realistic I find that she suddenly remembered something from 17 years ago, before that even, that's all come back to her. But
repressed memories.
She was one, less than one.
Yeah, well... But, yeah, so Gothel had a good stranglehold on her reality.
Yeah.
And so I imagine that any question about herself as a baby, anything that she would possibly remember consciously, Gothel would be there to absolutely jump on her.
Yeah.
And stamp it out.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, you know, yeah, that's what I think anyway.
Flynn's going to be hanged. That's intense. That's probably why it's rated PG as well, because he's going to be hanged. You see the noose and everything. Like, it's full on. But then the ruffians help Flynn escape.
Yeah.
I'm using the word ruffians because that's what Gothel used when she was explaining, that, like, describing the people outside of the castle, the ruffians. But maybe it's thugs. Who knows? Yeah. Either way, the peeps from the Snuggly Duckling.
Vikings.
help Flynn escape and go back to her, because Rapunzel has put her foot down and she is not letting her mum use her hair anymore.
No.
She's like, I'm not doing it.
No.
Too bad. So does Rapunzel, does Rapunzel have to sing the song to make the hair glow?
Yep.
What did she do before Rapunzel could talk?
Don't know. Grow old. Ungracefully.
Yeah. But that's a long time.
Maybe it was, So Gothel used to sing to the flower.
Yeah.
To get the flower's power.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon that what she's done over the years, she's taught Rapunzel to sing the song herself.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have to sing it. It's just another indentured servitude moment.
Yeah.
Where she's getting Rapunzel to do all the work.
Yeah.
Rapunzel does all the cleaning. She does all the other stuff around the house, cooking. And I think it's just another way that, you know, she hauls Gothel's bum up the side of the tower on her hair.
But there are stairs that we find out later. There's another entrance.
Well,
there's
another entrance to another, this tower. It's another example of where she's
got Rapunzel
under the thumb.
Yeah.
And Rapunzel wouldn't know about those stairs.
No, absolutely not. Secret. It's like a trapdoor.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what I think. Anyway, so I reckon she's taught Rapunzel how to sing the song so she can just sit there. Rapunzel can sing and get all the lovely, gooey, magic energy from the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So when Flynn makes his way back up the tower to save Rapunzel from Gothel...
Spoilers!
He gets stabbed.
Gothel gets
not
the drop on him.
Not by the Stabbington brothers. Yeah. Do you know that the dagger that Gothel uses is the same as Frollo's dagger in Hunchback?
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's the exact same dagger.
Wow.
That Gothel uses to stab.
Frollo's the bad guy, by the way.
Yeah.
In that
Hunchback
movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for those who don't know. So there you go. Makes a repeat appearance.
Yeah. Well, they already had the animation. It's not broken. Why? Like, why change it? So he gets stabbed and he's dying, and, you know, Rapunzel makes this quick deal with Gothel to say, just let me heal him and I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I won't go happily, but I won't try and escape.
Yeah.
I'll be miserable every single day, but I will not leave you. Just let me heal him. Let me use my hair and heal him. And Gothel says, yes.
Sure.
And then as Rapunzel walks over to go and heal him,
spoilers,
she like leans in to start to like give him a kiss or start singing magic to him.
Something.
And he says, you know, come here. And he grabs her hair and uses the dagger to...
Uses some broken glass.
Oh, the broken glass from the mirror that Gothel breaks. Yeah. Uses some broken glass to drop it.
Yep, chops the hair off.
It must have been really sharp glass. Very sharp glass. All of that hair in one single.
I don't think even a professional hairstylist could do it all in one chop.
No.
With anything. Maybe a katana.
Maybe a katana. Oh, no. Could you imagine if Flynn just pulls a katana out of his little satchel and then swing and that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Hair ends up looking kind of that short kind of...
It's like pixie cut.
Like those ladies in Real Housewives.
Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It's that 90s kind of
short Lisa hair. Rinna hair. It is. She's got the Lisa Rinna haircut.
Early 2000s, yes, maybe.
It's exactly it, the Lisa Rinna.
Yeah.
And it turns brown like her parents, who have both got dark hair.
That's right.
And all her hair turns brown. And as soon as the hair disappears, Gothel starts to deteriorate.
Yep.
Right in front of their eyes until she, you know, falls out the window, does a classic Disney falling death.
By
the time
death.
She hits the ground, she has disintegrated.
Into dust.
Yeah, into nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a cloak there.
Now, speaking of dust, here's a segue for you. Some of the animation, fantastic. Absolutely superb.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for, when you're watching it again, which you will, look out for, I've written here, side note, stonework, woodwork, fabric, hair, and dust particles in the air.
Yeah.
That even rhymes. Yeah, it's amazing. There's moments where, you know, where I think Gothel's talking to Rapunzel and you see the little flints of dust in the air. It's just so beautiful. And what they did so well in this movie to add to this is they're really good at making focal points by using blurred backgrounds and then focusing on the...
Portrait mode.
Yeah, basically portrait mode for those who use iPhones. And they do that so well throughout the movie. They don't overuse it, but it's there in times where they really want you to focus on those two characters.
Yeah.
And the background's not quite so important. But, you know, it's absolutely terrific. And there's even moments where you get close-ups of Rapunzel's face and you see these tiny little freckles on her nose. Mm. So good.
So this being the first feature-length computer animated, CGI movie that Disney had done.
Yeah.
So Glenn Keane, who was one of the animators, wanted the film to really look and feel like a traditional hand-drawn film, even though it wasn't. So he hosted a seminar called The Best of Both Worlds, and he brought in 50 Disney animators who were both CGI animators and traditional artists, so a mix of both, to discuss the techniques used in each style and how to, in his words, bring the warmth and intuitive feel of hand-drawn animation to CGI.
Yep.
So that was really important, that he didn't want it to look cold and sort of too, you know, perfect. Those details that the hand-drawn artists brought in, and not imperfections, but though, you know, the things that make a hand-drawn animation special was really what they wanted to bring to the computer, the computer animation as well.
And here's something for nothing. I reckon you could pause that movie anywhere along that 100 minutes and it looks superb.
Mm-hmm.
Pause it anywhere. I don't care. Go for it. Test me out. Pause it anywhere. It looks superb.
The colours are magnificent. You know,
and it harks back to those early Disney ones when it was all hand-drawn and they'd use multiplanes and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. But it was all – there was a realness in the way that it was because it was actually real paint.
Yeah.
And, you know, drawings on a surface, you know, like it, there's a realness to it.
Yeah.
And of course with digital, there's always that risk of it not looking like it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And they just do this so well. I always think it's funny though, because of course, you know, and it's a style choice, of course, but with Disney characters, you know, they have these big eyes. It's that big eye cuteness thing.
Yeah.
But if you look at Rapunzel in this, and you look at the width of her eyes, her eyeballs must be the size of baseballs. Yeah. Like they are. They, you know, I know how Americans love to use funny objects to describe the length and of size of things. You know
what? Oh,
didn't you see this? Like you know, for social distancing, you know, stay a bald eagle's wingspan apart from other people.
I've literally never heard anyone never seen that? Say that. Oh, it's great. No.
So anyway, her eyes are baseball size.
Are they a bald eagle's wingspan apart from each other?
And I just like, you know, you could always like kind of imagine them fitting in the head. But anyway, it's just funny.
It's not meant to look real. It's not like
But that's when things, yeah, that's the thing though. When things start to look so realistic, like generally realistic, which they are in this movie, as you know, like there's still a cartoonness about them in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, they do the shading and the lighting and everything so on point that when there's even familiar shapes that are distorted deliberately, you notice it more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. But, yeah, fantastic. If you love a visual film, fantastic. If you love a bit of action... I feel like I'm wrapping this up here.
I feel like you are.
We're about an hour in, so... Yeah,
I feel like you are. Do you want to talk about the end at all, or are we just going to jump straight to...
Look, it's a happy ending. It's a great happy ending, though. She reunites with her family, I think.
Well, it's because she cries on him and her magic tears.
Oh,
is this
yeah.
just a thing now? Can Rapunzel just... Because that's how it is in the story.
Yep.
She can cry when she cries on the prince.
But she wouldn't have done that before. She probably never had a reason to cry.
Oh, I'm sure she's had plenty of reasons to cry, but she's probably not cried on anyone.
No.
No, because she's been by herself.
No. Maybe Gothel's been collecting her tears.
So does the power transfer?
Here's what I want to know. Does the power What did Mum not have any powers? Why didn't Mum? Mum was given the magic potion.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she have any powers?
I don't know.
Maybe she does.
Maybe she does. Maybe she
that's
just doesn't
the
know.
Sequel, Tangled 2.
Tangled 2, the...
Mum's return.
Well, speaking of Mum and Dad, when we finally see them, they're like very happy to see her and they don't question it at all, which, you know, I've listened to enough true crime podcasts to know that you should probably question when your long lost child turns up on your doorstep claiming to be them. but, you know, it's all a happy ending there. And, you know, we have a nice happily ever after and Flynn's staying with them in the castle and that's all lovely and wonderful. Rapunzel's parents do not say one single word.
No.
They do not talk at all. One single word. Which at the start is sort of feels like it fits with Flynn's narration. But at the end, when they see her and they don't talk, it just feels
awkward.
Weird.
Because it's not what she would do. They've been waiting for this person to return. They probably thought she was dead, really. The king had a tear in his eye. You know, gonna light.
He sighs. He's like, oh.
And he has a tear in his eye when he's going to light the lantern at the lantern festival.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're still absolutely broken by this loss. And so to have that kind of reaction, but then when they see her not have an outward reaction.
There's lots of emotion on their face. I just think it's odd that they don't say anything.
Maybe, I don't know why. Why would they do that, Disney?
It was really expensive. They didn't want to pay more
just
people.
Just save some money instead of paying some...
Well, they could have just got one of the animators to go, oh, my goodness, darling, you're home. Like, how much could that cost?
Has a cat got your tongue? What's going on? Yeah, it was a strange one. Really strange one when you say it. Yeah. But,
you can wrap it up now. Go on.
look, and the thing that we really haven't kind of touched on is... The amount of humor in this movie.
It's really funny.
It's a, I would write it as a comedy. Anybody who wants to, it's a comedy with a bit of drama in there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like MVPs would have to be those Viking thug fellas with their singing and their manliness and their, you know, their dreams. And I think they're fantastic. Maximus is definitely up there as well. I think Flynn was an equal. He was a terrific counterpart to Rapunzel.
Yeah.
In this story. You know, he wasn't more than her, but he also wasn't less than her as well. And I think that was really clever.
He's got a bit of a, like, an Aladdin-iness about him.
Yeah.
He's got that sort of cheekiness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That charming cheekiness.
Yep.
About him. The street Aladdin. Yeah. It's very Aladdin.
Very Aladdin in that respect. I think, though, you know, like, if you compare it to, say, something like Cinderella, I mean...
that prince has got the personality of a toothbrush.
Yeah, but then... But all the stories are very much about her, and the prince part of it's kind of, like, not really even much of a thing. Yeah. You know, we don't even know really anything about this prince. We don't get to learn anything about him.
Other than he doesn't have very good, you know, facial recognition.
Yeah. But he can dance.
He can dance. And he can rich, do a mean waltz. So, and he's rich.
Yeah.
What else do you need? I don't need you to recognize me.
That's the thing I love about this movie. You know, Flynn sees that Rapunzel, you know, he's not even, doesn't even really know that she's a princess. So that's the thing that he falls in love with. And I think that's really key here. He meets this wonderful girl who's so talented in so many different ways, and despite her upbringing is really outgoing and positive about the world and wants to have a go at everything and wants to invest herself in people and she has her dreams and she's actively trying to follow them. And I think there's a lot in that. I think that's inspiring for people.
Yeah.
It's inspiring for me.
Oh, that's why it's your favourite. And on that note, let's wrap this up. So how many lanterns would you give this movie?
It is up there. I'm going to go 9.5.
I knew you'd do a halvesy. I knew you couldn't commit to a full 10.
Nah, it's way up there, people. It's way up there. And you could watch it in 10 years' time, 20 years' time. It'll still be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you? Do we go the goth or daggers? Do we go the magical flowers? Let's go. How about?
It's really not that important. Just make something.
How many strands of Rapunzel's hair out of 10 would you give it?
I would say 9. That's very good.
9 strands.
Yeah, 9 strands. It's very good. I have a lot of questions about the story, but it's a beautiful movie. The animation is stunning. The colors are beautiful. I love the shift in color. Everything's so bright and vibrant until Rapunzel goes back home with Gothel, and then everything gets really dark and gray until she gets back to her kingdom again with Flynn at the end. Mm. It's beautiful. It's great. It's a really, really good movie. Nine. No, what are we picking? 9 hairs, 9 strands of hair.
9 strands of hair.
9 single strands of hair, which doesn't sound like a lot, but they're really long strands, so it's fine.
Very long strands.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into our latest episode. We hope that episodes will be coming out a little bit more regularly from now on, now that life has settled back down. And you know what the next episode drop date is?
Now that our courting is over.
Yeah, that's it. Now that we've
been locked down.
We're just married people now. Our next episode after this one should drop on May the 4th.
Ooh.
I wonder what we might talk about.
Is that a clue?
It could very well be a clue.
Well, what did we do for the last May the 4th?
I watched Star Wars A New Hope for the first time.
So maybe there's a clue in that.
Maybe there is a clue. Maybe there is. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Remember to go and leave us a review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts. Any reviews that we get, we will shout out on our upcoming episodes. So keep listening. Hit subscribe if you haven't done that already. You won't miss an episode, and we will love you forever. You can tune into Brett's other podcast, Teaching for Dummies, wherever you get your podcasts. And we hope you have a lovely week. Thanks for bearing with us during this little period of no podcasts. And we love you very, very much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.